preaching to the foreigners. Y'all not hearing me what I'm saying. See, you don't need a microphone all the time. You can go out in the streets and the highways and byways and tell the dying world that Jesus is still waiting for them. He's still waiting. And it was such an amazing thing. I wasn't even planning to go into that, but the Lord was speaking to my spirit. He says, after you finish in this part, I need you to go this way. I didn't know where I was going. And I'm up here. I'm up here. We dialoguing here. God, which way you want me to go? Go that way. Make a left, turn right. It's amazing, man. As I begin to turn right, I turn left, and I look, and all these men, I said to myself, God, you got to be kidding me. Boy, you got to be kidding me. In fact, I would even honest to say that I was intimidated for a second because I had never seen that many men like that. You would think we were walking in a million man's march, the setting that would, I said 150, it might have been much more because I couldn't see all of them. But I tell you what, I was able to see them at the end of the service. How is that, Pastor? Because they came to Jesus. I'm celebrating souls, man. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. That's who's wise. And so you educated, and I understand that, and I celebrate that too. But I'm educated in what I'm doing. I know God has showed me how to reach a dying soul, even on their deathbed. Man, I remember one time the Lord sent me into a man's room, and he was on his deathbed. And I didn't really have no intentions going into the location. In fact, I remember some things was buffeting me prior to me going. But when I get there, I didn't understand why that man gave his life to Jesus that day, that moment. Now, some people say, well, most times people will give their life because they unlive everything. But sometimes you can be so prideful and so angry, you don't even want to give your life in that state. So don't tell me because of the state of mind. Yeah, sometimes you don't want nothing to do with God because you can have so much regret for all of the years you lived, and you at your life now, and you looking back and says, this is the way, this is the life that God showed me. Why would I want to come over to that? See, God can touch a man's heart at any situation. It ain't up to us when we want to give our life to the Lord. It's the Lord touching your heart when you're ready to give your life. See, we got to misconstrue. Men don't come to Jesus because they feel like coming. Men come to Jesus because the Lord touches their heart at that given second, and they're willing to change at that moment because what they realize is that the Lord says, I am ready to marry. I don't want to date you no more. I don't want to date you no more. I'm sick of dating you because you're sharing me, and I don't want to be shared no more. And so when that person feels that, they see the love that he's shed abroad their hearts. And he says, you know what? I don't want to do this no more, God. I say I do. And I'm going to guarantee you, at the end of this service, we're going to have some folks that says, I do. And it's going to be a wedding ceremony. We going to celebrate you. And I don't care if you given your Lord, your life to the Lord 10 years ago and you went out and did some things that you just feel so disgusted. The Lord says, I'm still waiting for you. There is a such thing. Oh, what they call it? Backsliding. It's a such thing. Because you can turn back the hands of time and come back to the Lord just the way you are. Now, I know there's many churches, they don't want to preach salvation. They want to preach financial freedom and financial deliverance and monetary blessings. And God is going to give you your husband next week if you sow $150. And God is going to give you your wife next week. So I know you want to hear that kind of message, but you came to the wrong place. Unless the Lord give it to me, that's when I'll say it. But I'm not here to tickle anyone's fancy. I'm here to tell the dying world that Jesus is coming back one day. And when he does, we better pray that we ain't caught with our pants hanging down. And I'm just going to say it just the way I see it. We got to make sure that we are in the right posture. So when he cracked that sky on one of them gloomy or sunny days, whatever weather God want to use that day when Jesus comes down, we want to be in ready mode. There was a movie, in fact, where they said there was a husband and wife and a daughter and a mom talking in the field. And all of a sudden, all you saw was the clothes of the person who was encountering the daughter or the husband. What happened was that person was drawn up to Jesus, but the other one remained. And that's what's going to happen in the last days. There's going to be individuals who's going to be conversating. You're going to be at a supermarket. You're going to be in a laundromat. You're going to be in the grocery store. You're going to be whatever. And there's going to be a time when Jesus comes back, somebody ain't going to be there talking to you anymore because that person was caught up. Because at that time, God says, this is when I'm... See, here's the thing. We don't know when he's coming back. He is coming back, and the Bible says he's coming back without a church. He says he's looking for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. Why do you think I ironed my suit today? No, I'm just joking. But the thing is that when he comes back, he's not looking for the outer appearance. He's looking what's on the heart. If the heart is wrinkled and it's not acceptable, then you're going to remain where you are. You're going to have relatives and loved ones who you saw that wasn't living the life. But all of a sudden, they changed their life right before he came back. They're going to be the ones caught up. See, those are the ones that we overlook and we have cast out because we don't think they have a shot. That's why I can't stand churches. They put the ones, the bottomless ones, right in the back. Let's get the ones that give the most right in the front. They more concerned about the ones who gives the most, spend more time with the most because they're the ones that's feeding their pocket. I'll tell you what, I don't care how many of y'all give me from the front line, I'm going all the way to the back to get the least expected one. The one that you say he don't deserve to be in our midst. No, that's who I'm going after. I'm going after that one because I remember the Lord says, have no respect of persons. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that we should not care whether you're rich or whether you're poor. I should be able to deal with you the same way. I shouldn't even deal with you based on your status quo. I should love you no matter what your status is. So what? You stand in a small 4x4 apartment, you still get love, and God still loves you. Just the same way somebody living in a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot mansion, he doesn't care about what y'all, because see, that is not, so as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's going to be hard. You know why? Because they don't want to give up that stuff. It's the same way when a man told Jesus, he says, Lord, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And the Lord says, sell your riches and give it to the poor. And that man put his head down and he walked away because he didn't want to give it up. What he thought was, I honor my mother. I honor my father. I've done these. See, that's not going to get us to the kingdom of heaven. We have to be willing to die before we can live again. We got to be willing to surrender before we can live again. And in fact, that your flesh have been living longer than your spirit. It's your spirit that needs to come alive. In order for you to attach, to find out, to get some discernment of who you are. Man, I love this man. You know what? To be honest with you, I didn't know where I was going yet again. But this is what happens. When you open your mouth, God speaks. Because what I believe, this message is not a normal message. He's reaching souls right now. He doesn't have time to try to get things. He's trying to, what he's saying to you, and I'm speaking to somebody, there's no excuses. You're going to be left without excuses why you cannot submit to the Lord, just the way you are. Now, you don't have to come to DCM. That's fine with me. But if you give your life, I'm glad just as much because now I know that I planted the seed and made a difference for you. Because I just want you to know that we don't have all day, all night, or we don't know how many years we're going to be on this earth. But I want you to understand that if you make a conscious decision, if tomorrow is not promised to you, how are you going to spend the rest of your hours on this day? Just imagine if you don't have tomorrow promising. Let's just use this as an example. The doctors tell you you cannot live past 5 hours. I would say somebody's going to make a change. Now you may have someone that's going to probably do some things that they never done before, at least try to. But I do know that you're going to realize there's a life after this. And in order for me to be accepted in that life called heaven, I have to be willing to turn from my wicked ways. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, turn from your wicked ways, seek my face, humble yourself, and pray, and see I won't hear from heaven. So in order to turn, you don't do a 360, because usually when you do a 360, you're doing the same thing. You're moving from the same position that you once were. you have to turn 180. Meaning that's a completely different change for you because you've never been in that 180. But if you do a 360, you're still doing the same thing. You still become the same man and the same woman. I don't want you to do a 360. I want you to turn clockwise. That's what we're doing. We're turning. We're turning from what we thought life was. We're turning see, people think when I come over to the Lord, he's going to stop having fun. No. You're missing it. You're missing it. Over in John chapter 10, he says, I'm willing to give you life and more abundantly. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So what he's saying is that the life you have, he says he just want to add to it. But we don't know what life really means because we haven't been exposed to it. We think life is what we have thought, but I tell you what, it ain't. It's just the way that the enemy is trying to deceive you, or this is life. And some of us, man, I don't know, we don't let monetary things get in the way on who you think God is. Because let me tell you something. God will bless you monetarily. He don't have a problem with that. Matter of fact, that is the least thing he can do. That's the least. Finances is the least. We think finances is the end all be all. It's the least. That's just the tool for us to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And then it uses that. That's how the man uses that to put you in a certain status quo on basically where you belong or what housing or what area. But that is not it. That is not all it. There is a place called heaven. He says, in fact, heaven is mansions. He said, it's so many, I can't even number it. So if you are in a small apartment, you saying this is all, God says, if I don't give you the land of the living, I have something greater in heaven where you don't have to pay no VEPCO bill. You don't have to pay no electricity. You don't have to worry about feeding this person and that because everything will be met. Oh, see, I'm talking heaven talk now. Yeah, I'm talking heavenly talk to you now. I'm not talking to you about no earthly things. I'm talking to you when we get over to the other side with that pearly white gates, the streets paved with gold. There won't be no crying, no more dying, no more sickness, no more disease. That place is where we were supposed to be before Adam and Eve tripped up. That's where we were supposed to be originally. And God is just shaping us and preparing us and positioning us to get ready for the other life. We're not going to stay in this body too much longer. I mean, honestly, God bless you if you live 80 years, which is 80 years, which is the promise that God gave man. God bless you if you see a centurion, 100 years. God bless you if you do. But you cannot stay in this body too much longer. Because one day, it is going to fail you. But not your spirit. Your spirit is going to come alive. And it's going to realize that even though you might be 80 in the flesh, you might be 45 in the flesh, your spirit right now hasn't been birthed yet. So we're just waiting to be birthed. Do you know, man, you don't have to be a woman to reproduce. He's about to get somewhere now. You can produce in your spirit where your spirit comes open and it begins to cry and say babbling things. Because when you do is now you start to feed your spirit, man. So your spirit can come alive and grow up as a young adult and tell your flesh, this is how we're going to live. You live long enough, but it's my turn. I call it changing other gods. That's what I call it. It's time to exchange places. I will take this position, you take that position. See, so the flesh has been dominating your spirit. That's why some of you haven't changed over yet, because it's the flesh is dominating. It's telling you what you're going to do. Now, I know we got some men here who just don't take words, kindly words. You're not going to tell me what to do. You know that. You know that statement. But that's what your flesh is doing to your spirit. Do you like a bully? Because I don't. I can't stand bullies. But that's your flesh. Your flesh is the bully. And your spirit right now is just waiting. It's waiting for you to take up for her. What do you say, Pastor? How do you figure men produce? Didn't Adam have Eve? Where do you think she come from? So don't tell me that we cannot produce. We can produce. Men should be able to reproduce. And I'm not talking from a child standpoint. I'm talking about your spirit, man. Man, I'm dealing with your spirit right now. I don't care less about your flesh. You might be sick. I can command healing over you. But let me tell you something. Some of you do not know that if you decide to come over into the spirit realm, you would realize sometimes you ain't even got to go to the doctor. Your spirit would begin to raise the standard, and it would tell your flesh, this is not what it's supposed to be like. See, some of you are not fulfilling or not experiencing your benefit package. You have benefits serving God. You got a God who heals all your diseases, forgive all your iniquities. I'm going over to Psalms 103. That's what it is. He says he will forgive you for all your sins, heal all your diseases. But you know what? You can't get that if you're just in the flesh. Part of the benefits is serving him, is transferring over from one man to a madman. I'm a madman now. I wasn't a madman before, but I'm a madman now. I'm going after every dying soul with all what I can get. Whatever the Lord, that's where I'm going. I'm coming after you. You will not escape today. You ain't going to escape. You're not going to escape too much longer. You, after a while, this world going to keep beating you and beating you. I don't care if you don't come 5 to 10, 15 weeks. You're going to come back and you're going to realize, I can't do it no more. I change. I surrender. And that's what he's looking. He knows you're tired. He knows it. Only one that knows it is you. You're the only ones that don't know it is you. But you know, everybody else see you a certain way. And you want people to perceive you to be a certain way because of life status and marital status and how many cars you drive, how much square footage you live in. It ain't about that, brother. It ain't about that, sister. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because I'm living it, but I ain't letting that get to my heart. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you want to talk about monetary. Yes, I'm blessed, but I understand why I'm blessed. It ain't because my name is Rory. It ain't because I got a higher education. It ain't because this or that. It's because I obey God, even when I don't feel like it. That's why this pastor is blessed. It ain't because I get a check from the ministry either. See, I want to get that through to some people. Oh, well, maybe the church is taking care of me. No. God is taking care of me. And I'm blessed. Yes, I am. And I'm not gonna be unapologetic for it either. I'm blessed, and I'm gonna keep telling you I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed, and I'm fruitful. I'm telling you, man. And watch this. Not only I'm fruitful, but I'm anointed. I will speak to some things to you, and you'll be like, how did he hear? How did he know that? Because I'm blessed. That's why. That's how I know it. I'm telling you, I'm so blessed. I can say one thing. You have no idea that I know it, but it become timely. How did he get this? Where did he get this from? Man, God will allow me to get in your bedchambers on what you praying for. Because he, let me tell you something. He doesn't hide anything from me. No. If it's something that he needs for me to know, he's going to reveal it to me. So if you ever come under this leadership, you have to understand that you're not just following just a person in the position. You're following the anointing. That's what you need to do. So DCM, I want you to understand, you're not following the man. You're not following the woman. You're following the anointing that man and woman is submitted under. That's what you're following. And when you follow that anointing, that's how you're going to get your blessings. When you connect properly to the anointing, I hear people say, man, you know, even people who serve the Lord sometimes, you know, get depressed. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's possible. I've been there too. But what happens is, for a person who loves God and they see the condition of the world, they can get depressed because you're looking at the state that the world is in. And it's something like you saying, it's not much you can do about it unless God do it. And so only thing you can do, and I'm talking to my intercessors, and they know who they are. You can only thing you can do is pray for them. Even though you look and it look like they're not going the way you expected, you just got to keep holding up the wall and you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep fasting, or you keep praying and you hold up that wall. Hold up that wall on their behalf, because they can't hold it up on their own. That's what sometimes it gets stressful for a person who's living holy, and they see the person in the state and the condition that they're in, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't understand why they don't see the light. What you have to realize is that you didn't see the light one day either. How long it took you to come over? How long? Think about this. How long did it take you to come over to him? Somebody was telling you A, B, and C, but you refused to hear it because your eyes were shut and your heart was hard. You didn't want nothing to do with God. And I understand you got some people that says, I don't want nothing to do with them because those church folk, they're just hypocritical. I see them, how they treat people. They do certain things and they do certain things. But I guarantee you, if you learned me long enough, hopefully I've been the example on what it looks like. Am I perfect? By any means, no. But I try to strive to live to the best of my ability, to be an example before you as much as I can, because you're gonna make mistakes, so do I. You say things that you shouldn't say, so do I. You think some things that you shouldn't think, so do I. I'm not in a bubble. I experience things that you experience. So I don't want you to think that you can't trip up. You're gonna trip up. Even if you give your life today, you're gonna trip up tomorrow. Do you stop living? No, come on back. You keep trying. How many babies you know who didn't trip before when they started walking? I love this stuff. This is good. You know how babies, when they start to try to walk, they trying to get their footing, but then you see them trip up and they begin to plop. And what you do? You don't even tell them to get up. They're going to try it again. They're going to keep trying because you know what? They're striving to walk because they see the vision. If I can walk, I don't have to wait for mom and dad to get me that cereal. I can go get it myself. See, so it's rewarding when you see a child trying to get their footing. That's where we are. When you come over to Jesus, you are a child, a born again, a new creature, a new birth. So you don't have the wherewithal to do certain things. So it's going to take a parent like me and First Lady to help raise your spirit. I'm not trying to raise your flesh. You're much older than me, but I'm still a spiritual father to a lot of you. So therefore, I would help raise that spirit man in you so you can be all you called God called you to be. You may not like some of the things I might say to you privately in our counseling sessions. You may not like some of the things that I might say to you in these messages because you might think I'm picking on you. But no, God is trying to raise you up to be what he's called you to be. So as long as you're offended by my messages, then you're going to stay right where you are. There's no hope and change for you. But if you are willing and obedient, I hear you, Holy Spirit. He says you will eat the good of the land. How you know this, Pastor? Because I'm eating it. And in fact, man, I'm going to enjoy some of it. I'm enjoying it right now. When I look around, I tell the Lord, I shouldn't even be here. I always tell the Lord, I don't deserve what you've done. But the Lord, see, he saw differently. He saw differently. That's why I keep going back to December 2nd, when I heard that voice, like a man speak to a man. You are leaving this place. I feel like Abraham. You go to a city you've never been to, man. I'm like, okay. Give me some time, God. No, you don't have time. You have 22 days to get this right. 22 days. You mean, God, you trying to tell me and my wife to quit jobs, sell whatever we have? See, those are the ones that's going to eat the good of the land. If you willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Now, this ain't for ladies, folks. I'm telling you, if you're not motivated, this ain't the church for you. But if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good. You'll eat the good. I promise you, you will eat the good of the land. And I know some of you, God says, I know y'all want to be blessed, some of you monetarily, but that comes when you are obeying the voice of God, not when you want to do certain things. Honestly, if I wouldn't be where I am right now if I had not obeyed. If I'd have stayed where I was and I would have told God no, I wouldn't be in front of you. You would have been having a funeral session and it wouldn't be no Pastor Rory Roberts. Because when God tells you to do something, I'm going to tell you this. If you don't do it, do you know it? Don't worry about the devil killing you. God will take you out himself. Because those comes with punishment when you don't obey the voice of God. Now, I know some of you, I know you're attentive to what I'm saying. I didn't get to no text, and it's fine and dandy. This is our second anniversary. We're not trying to pump you up. We're just trying to save your life. We ain't trying to get in your pockets. We're trying to change your life, and we're trying to do it through the grace and the glory of God. But where will you be if the Lord just stopped living for you? Where will you be? I thank God you came, and I appreciate you, and I pray that you keep coming. I pray that God will use my voice for you, but I don't want you to keep coming if I ain't feeding you. Look, it does my heart good when I hear God is doing something wondrous in your life. When you tell me that something he opened up in your behalf that you didn't think he would, and it don't always have to be monetary. I keep going to this because I keep thinking this is the status that our minds are. We so carnal, man. All we want is what God is going, how he's going to promote us. When is the next increase coming? When is my next spouse coming? Your next spouse? I mean, come on now. When is my next home coming? When are you going to raise my credit score, God? When are you going to do this? And when are you going to do that? And God says, when are you going to do? What do you want to do? I'm willing to do all of what you ask me. And I'm talking to some single women right now because you know what? Your daddy says, until I send that man to you, I'm going to provide every nick and cranny in your life. I'm talking to my single woman. The Lord's telling me to tell you, you're not going to want for nothing. And in fact, that if you honor me, he says, I promise you, I will open up the red carpet for you. Oh, man. Your single woman, I don't know how many we have. You better be praising God just for that. Because at that moment, that's when the Lord speaks right there. You want to sit up there? Well, I'm not quite sure. Look at my current status. You keep looking at your current status. God is able to change your current status right now. Right now. It don't take God long to do something that you think is, look, if he created the heavens and earth and 6 days and the seventh day he rested, what do you think he can do in 20 minutes? I've seen him do it. In fact, we've seen him work after the 22-day period when we was in the land of nothingness after a while, because he told us, he told me, he says, if you stay where you are, you will not go any further. That's what he told me. And when he told that to me, I saw a ladder, meaning I was at the peak. So you think, okay, well, Pastor, you got your wife now, you're in your condo, you got a pretty good decent job here. So why would you want to turn all that away? Now, see, that's what we get hooked up at. I'm not going to be hooked up in that. It was what I was willing to throw away. It was willing what I was willing to put aside in order to eat the good of the land. And so it's not by happenstance that we live the way we live. It's not by happenstance that he did it in amount of three, it's a 3 to 4 year period. It's not normal, but it ain't by happenstance. The reason why we are where we are is because we obey the voice of God. Just simple as that. When we said yes, the Lord was already moving people out of our home that we're in now. He was already putting the paperwork to the new condo we have now. I'll never get free here. He was already, whatever we have now, is that he was already piecing things together. He already put promotions on the job before we got there. See, God don't wait till you get there. It's done before. Well, by the time you get there, it's already done. It's already done. Well, Pastor, that don't make sense. Yes, it makes completely sense when you're dealing in the spirit realm. But long as you stay in the carnal, you're not going to ever understand the language I'm talking. So I had to put that out there because you got some people who think, well, what do you have, Pastor, that you're talking all this talk? Oh, I could tell you what I have, but I ain't going to go that far. But I'm letting you know God is awesome. And where we were is not where we are today. God has tripled everything we've given up on December 2nd. He tripled it. Triple it. Man, you guys hear what I'm saying? He tripled it. If I could tell you some of the things he did, you would say, oh, Pastor, you are brag. Yeah, I'll brag, but I'm gonna do it only because of the glory of God. I'm not gonna brag based on me because I didn't do anything. In fact, the more you get is the more you need to be humble. Yes, and that's the truth because it don't take long for all that to get stripped away. And I want to tell you, First Lady, we're going to have to make sure that we put our eyes to the prize to make sure because you got people following you. We got to be stone cold in the spirit. We can't get so caught up on these things that's happening. We got to be focused, tunnel vision. I'm talking to you first, and you need to hear what I'm hearing. I hear what I'm saying. You're going to have to be dead fast, unmovable, unshakable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord in order for us to get where we need to go. Because we ain't going to get, we're not going to be able to survive if we keep thinking that it's going to just come through these jobs. Now, God says, I'm doing a new thing. God Almighty, man. See, there are certain things that God would allow you to have on your job. There are certain things that he will say, I'm going to give you certain things that your job can't afford. Yo, you're not hearing me. Your financial situation today. Can I get free? I know you got to go. You got to go. That's fine. I just want to say this way. Currently, whatever your financial status is today, I don't care if you have nothing in your account today. God can come back door and do some things that your account tells you and screams at you and says, we can't afford this. Yeah, okay. Okay. Wherever you live, whatever your financial status is, whatever your conditions is, God is not too concerned about that as you are. God will come back door and do this, this, and this. In fact, I'm going to just be transparent. When we first lived in where we live in now, when we first got here, in fact, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first walked in and I looked around, First Lady wasn't with me at the time, but I'm looking around, and in my heart, I'm like, we can't afford this. There's no way in the world. There's no way in the world. I'm going to put that actress says, the math ain't math. At the time, the math wasn't mathing. There's no way in the world you're going to get me to accept this location because I know the embarrassment is I cannot afford to be losing no home. No. See, that's what God was looking at. He said, no, why would I let anything get taken from you when you gave it up? When you gave up what you gave up, why? Why would I steal? Why would I take from you? In fact, I'm going to do nothing but add to you. I'm going to continue to keep adding to you. And the more you keep serving and the more you keep walking and the more you keep steadfast, I'm going to keep multiplying you. I'm going to keep multiplying you. And you know, I'm going to just be transparent because I don't care less. Y'all going to get mad with me, whatever. That's why last year, I mean, the Lord was speaking to me about a desired vehicle that I've been wanting. And I'm like, you know what, God, it ain't time. God had to come back door again and says, I need you. See, we got to be obedient. When the Lord told me, because at the time we were driving a Lexus, he says, go ahead and trade that car in and go to the Porsche dealership. Yeah, I'm going to say it just like this. And when I did it, because I was a little fighting, Lord, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. See, God says, no, see, it ain't about what you don't want. It's what I need to do through you. I'm going to minister this way through you. So when people see, they're going to know I'm real. They're going to know that I'm real. And so I'm going to be transparent because, look, I would have said no. But when God says no, he says yes. And that's why we walked up out of here the very next day with the vehicle, man. I'm telling you, and be honest with you, I was hiding. I was hiding for weeks, months. No one knew. And still to this day, I'm hiding. Still to this very day, I'm coming back door because I don't want people to know where I'm driving. God says, no, man, you ain't going to be able to hide too much longer because one thing, when the glory of God gets up on you, you can't hide the glory. You cannot hide the glory because let me tell you something. Another thing is the glory comes with a story. And my story was one day I was dead broke, couldn't scratch two nickels. There was times when I was hungry. I didn't know how I was going to work. There was some times when I was in surgery. I didn't know how I was going to make ends meet. That's what your pastor came from. So if I'm telling you where I am today, it ain't because I'd always been here, man. There were some days where I didn't even know if God was going to keep me on this earth. Shucks, man. I got to get free here, man, because, people say, well, Pastor, I think you should tell people how you're living. And I'm saying no, because I don't want people to focus that. This is not the gospel. But part of the gospel is that God says in Deuteronomy 8:18, he says, forget not the Lord thy God. For it is he to give you the power to get wealth. And that's why First Lady and I are in the position that we're in. But I'm trying to tell her, and I'm going to keep warning her again, we're going to have to stay steadfast and keep going forward because you got people who's watching you. You got people who's going to analyze that. And you got to tell people it ain't nothing we done. It's all because of God. But if they follow the anointing, they're going to accumulate the same blessings. The anointing. If they keep following the anointing, some of you gotten blessing raises and promotions already. in the 2 year period. You've seen money go from here to here, and you're like, how did it come? Because you're following the anointing. And when you attach yourself to this anointing, things begin to open up for you. There will be nothing God withhold from you. I'm excited talking about it because you know what? I'm not talking about what I'm living. I'm living it right now. I'm living it. I'm seeing it. I'm experiencing it. But I don't let none of that get into my heart like I'm so-and-so and I'm this and I'm that. None of that matters because at the end of the day, I still got to get to heaven. And none of those things can get me there but my heart for Jesus. See, I said all of that to spin it all back for you because you just think, now I got to tell you exactly how I get here, how we got here. It ain't just because we just said, all right, we got our, no, it's because we obey the voice of God. Now, by the end of service, I pray there's some changes happening with you right now. I'm praying. That's my prayer, that you come just the way you are. You stop fighting and fussing with your significant other. You don't got time for all that. You repent, baby, let's get this together. We got things to do. We got kingdom to move. We don't got time. That's why I love. See, marriages, I'm going to talk to y'all too. You're going to have to be equally yoked if you're going to see God move in your life. You can't be one place and another place and you walk around with these frustrations and you controlling this and controlling that. Man, if you want God to open up the heavens on your behalf, I don't care if you're saved and you're doing certain things. There's certain things that you're not doing. God says, that's what I want you to do. It's not what you're not doing. It's not what you're doing. It's what you're not doing. Man, I'm getting free, man. I'm telling you, this is the type of language we need to hear when we come into service. We need to hear the dying truth. Tell me for real. Who am I? Who am I? Tell me for real. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't just bleach it. don't put no colors on it. Just bleach it. Give me the real deal. Tell me how I'm living. Tell me when it's right, when it's wrong. Pastor, I understand. I want there. I want to get there. I want to get there. I desire to get there. But what is it going to take? It's going to take you to be obedient. And you're going to have to do some sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice when you don't feel like it. But I want that you just need to make sure that you are pleasing your Heavenly Father. He will not withhold nothing from you. It's not going to come through them 40, 80-hour jobs. It ain't going to come through the overtime. He says, I'm going to use an unlikely resources to do certain things on your behalf. I'm going to close now. Oh, God, I'm out of here. I'm going to close. I'm going to get there. Don't worry. I'm going to get there. But some of you, I know you probably said, man, just go ahead, man. Just go ahead on with the next song because I feel conviction. I don't want you to keep talking. The more you talk, the more there's a possibility that I'm going to change. Yeah, I'm fighting it. Yeah, I'm fighting. I'm fighting this change. You know how that little baby, when you're trying to put them to sleep, they fight in that sleep. They want to wake and crawl. No, just go back to sleep. No, I'm fighting change. No, we're not going to fight change. We're going to succumb to it. We're going to succumb to change. Say, I do. I want you to know, say, I do to the Lord. And he'll do what he needs to do from there. He'll just say, I do. That's all you need to say. That's the message today. Say, I do. I'm not going to date him no more. He said, don't prostitute yourself no more. Let me be your burden bearer. Let me be your husband. Let me take care of you until I send you the joke, till I send you Boaz. Let me take care of you. I'm going back to these single women. Let me take care of you. You don't have to compromise, man. You don't have to compromise, queens. You do not by any means necessary. You don't have to. You are a queen of God. Man, you do not have to compromise at all. People don't run the show. People don't rule you just because they got something over you. They're not your master. Shots, man. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Yes, Lord, I appreciate this word. Not my intentions, but I guess it was yours. Yeah, I thought we was going to celebrate. But I think change is a must. It's a must. Change is a must. I want to speak to the I do people. Are you ready to say I do? Now, don't hold me at this altar and then walk away after we spent all this money and this guest is here and you just leave me stranded. Oh, yeah, I hear you. The Lord says, don't leave. I'm at this altar right now. Paid all this money for this banquet. All the guests is here. The music is played. Are you going to walk away from our vows? Can you say I do? Because I said I do. You just going to walk away and leave me stranded? Leave me right here all by my lonesome? You're going to go back out there and continue to prostitute yourself because you're not ready to say I do? If you marry me, you'll know, oh, man, you'll eat the good of the land. You'll eat the good of the land. You'll eat it. You'll eat it. You'll eat it. I promise you, you'll eat it. It may not come overnight, but you'll eat it. May not even come next week, but you'll eat the good of the land. Just say I'll do. I'll take good care of you. Oh, hallelujah. I take care of you. I know how to take care of my people. I'm God. I'm King of glory. I own 1,000 upon the sheep upon the hill. I own 1,000 cattle upon the hill. I am Jehovah. I'm God. I'm everything. I run the earth. I made earth. It's the reason why these jobs and these companies here exist. It's because of me. I put them there. So you can be able to feed your family. But I'm ready to do something new for you. Come on, would you let me? Will you let me, child? Will you let me, daughter? Will you let me, son? This is the altar call, just in case you don't know. This is the time when you say, I do. When the preacher says, do you say I do? This is the time. Do I have some I do's ready? You can put it in the chat. I do. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you to Christ. I want to lead you to Christ. That's all I want to do. What's your motives, Pastor? That's all. That's my motives. That's all my motives are. Are you ready to say I do? We can do it privately. You don't have to do it openly. This is okay too. There's a private chat where you can put it right directly to me. I'm ready to say I do. That's all I want to do. And you don't have to be afraid. Don't have to be afraid. Maybe you don't want to do it privately. Maybe you just said, you know what? I want to confess my love to the Lord openly. Because I've never seen a wedding where there's no guests. It's always got to be one witness. Jesus, hallelujah. Anybody want to come to Jesus just the way they are? I'm going to tell you something. There's some people here. I'm going to pray with you too. There's some people here who is serving Jesus, but they're not in the right spot. They're not in the right location. They're not in the right space. So you're not going to see some fruits in your life because you accepted them, but you're in the wrong position. I'm going to pray with you too. Some of you who's wondering and trying to navigate, trying to figure it out. No, just come. Just come. Don't fight this either. Because there's a such thing of being giving your life to Jesus, but you ain't seen the fruits. I'm going to talk to you, ma'am. You, sir. Come on. Stop wearing. Stop fighting God. You keep your arms too short. The box with him. Come on. Come on over. I'm not quite sure what we have right now. But my prayer is that you heard this word and you accept it. Well, God bless you. You know we have Communion Sunday. This is Communion Sunday. I asked the congregation last week, should we do it? They said, yes, we're gonna do it. See, this is the love that they have. They don't care. They want to go all the way out. We're gonna do communion. I hope Evangelist Chelsea here? Because she's gotta lead our way. When it's communion. Is she here? Amen. Amen. Before some of you who don't want to commune with us, you're more than welcome to. Before you leave, what does the Lord put on your heart to give this ministry? Sow a seed. We have in our Mind, Body, and Soul conference in August 9th through the 11th. As you heard First Lady mention, that we fed 73 people, 3-4-course meal. We didn't see no ham and cheese sandwich. We gave them meals. And so that weekend, as we go to New York City, the 9th through the 11th, our first day we arrive, we go into that elderly home. We're going to serve 150 people there. 150. 150. And so this is where your money is going towards. It's going towards keeping us on the air because you know we pay for all these platforms that you're a part of. When we have our men's study, our men's support group every Thursday or first or second Thursday of the month, I want some men to come and participate, man. Some great information and support. Sisters, we have it every second Friday of each month. Come on. Where's Judge Freedom? And of course, you know, we have our Bible study every Wednesday at 8 p.m., 1 hour. We are going through the word by doctrine teaching. I'm talking about good teaching. There ain't no preaching. It's open message. We're all dialoguing, understanding what God is saying. That's what sound doctrine comes in at. Be a part of that 8 o'clock on that Wednesday. And of course, you already know service because you're here now. And I appreciate y'all coming. Y'all really do. Y'all had no idea. Some of you didn't even know we was doing 2 years today. Really, it's Wednesday, March 27th, which is First Lady, and I believe since the end, their birthdays. But we launched this ministry 2 years ago on the 27th. We're celebrating it today, though. God is awesome. And look at this. Look at that. If you look around, look at this. This is how much people, they know when they get in the Word because they come and they stay. They don't want to check out. I've seen people check out, but I ain't staying here. This ain't no Word. This is a show. You're getting the real word here, real word. But it's just a blessing. I mean, it's just a blessing. There's so much news that's coming. I can't tell it all. I'm not privileged to tell it all, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. God is awesome. It's coming. It's coming. What are you going to do in year three? He may say, go after some property. Go after some commercial real estate. You don't know what God's going to do. We just need to be positioned and ready for the taking. God bless you. Please sow a seed, though. DivineContactMinistries.net. Please, somebody tap that in. There's a giving button. The minimum that you can give, and it's sorry to say that it's not that your seed is too small. It's $15. That's the minimum because that's the only way we can accept that. We still pay for those services. When y'all give, we still get charged for it. But we want to thank you. Even if you sow $15, we'll take that and thank God for you and bless you and bless your seed. Amen. God bless you all. I appreciate you all. Y'all, you know what, man? Did some of y'all, I know some of y'all signed up for that conference yet. I seen it. I mean, and I didn't notice it until much later, but God bless you too. We got stuff to do, man. Hallelujah. We got stuff to do, man. And look, we're celebrating 50 years on that same weekend. Just so happened that I'm, it's a blessing that you know what you're doing for your birthday. I'm serving the Lord. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. It's more important to me that I get long life and making sure that other people are benefiting from my life. Hallelujah. I believe there's somebody who just asked the Lord. I do. Was that privately? Just to make sure, because I'm not quite sure. I saw some splat. Was that privately? Was that openly? Because if it's not, then I need to do this privately. Okay, great. Appreciate it. We'll do that privately. Praise God. All right, so let us go into communion. Those of you who want to join with us communion, hopefully you have your wafer, the blood ready. Evangelist Chelsea, are you ready? And we will pray with those souls that said I'll do shortly after.